You are listening to episode number 64 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast at full strength. And welcome to episode number 64 of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, several days before May 21st, 2011, before the world is supposed to end, the Warriors 3 have returned, all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us finally after seeing his Celtics get brutally raped in the Eastern Conference Semifinals, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, even if my spirit is broken.
And of course, our resident Spy Smasher Reach Around Man, Arnold, welcome back finally to the show. It's good to have you back, man.
Yo!
And of course, the New York Strangler, Taser.
Wow.
And because the Warriors 3 minus Brian decided, hey, we should keep this guy around, we're going to give him a shot. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dragon 0.1, Chris Healy. Chris, from D-Cups, welcome back to the Warriors 3.
It's always fun to be here with you weird people.
The A-Cup of the D-Cups.
Oh!
Guhan wishes D-Cups had the popularity that the Warriors 3 has.
Guhan wishes he had D-Cups.
Anyways.
In his hand.
So, if this for some reason is, and hopefully this is your first time, this is the first time in a while that all of us have been together, minus Chris.
Hi.
This is going to be a very special episode, I promise.
It's a very special episode.
But in case this is your first time, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, including comics, video games, movies, TV, television, live action TV, porn, furries, orgy parties, everything you got, we do it, we cover it.
And My Little Pony. You can't forget My Little Pony.
We're going to go into that right now. But first, you know what? Let's start off, because this is probably going to be a longer show. Let's start off with casual. Free Comic Book Day was several weeks ago, and unfortunately we didn't get to talk about that. So really quick, I know Taser didn't do shit, because I know you don't like being
every
around
comic's
people.
Every comic's free for me anyway.
Exactly. Arnold, how was your Free Comic Book Day in a brief statement?
I actually had my Free Comic Book Day just yesterday because I was up at Utica at my brother's graduation, so I missed Free Comic Book Day.
I did get some
stuff from a friend of mine who managed to snag a couple of things for me, and I flipped through them and some good stuff. So I managed to get a couple of things, which was great. So I missed going on the day, but still got to enjoy.
All right, and Brian, what about you? Did you get Calvin and Hobbes and Ren and Stimpy and Scooby Doo, and you know, did you get all those?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I picked up the Amazing Spider-Man issue Marvel put out, and I also picked up Super Dinosaur number 1.
You didn't get
which admittedly
I got Last Airbender. I got Last Airbender. I'm very happy about that.
Despite its simple nature, Super Dinosaur was also
it was. Super Dinosaur was cool.
And I also picked Super up apparently because my chain owns the character. I picked up a free issue of The Tick, a comic book of The Tick. So that was
nice. Your store owns The Tick?
Hey, I knew him in the comics. They created the character. He was created for the store as promotional material. Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Wow, we got a local celebrity here. You wait till now to tell us 64 episodes in? Really?
I'm sorry.
I've been plugging your store for all this time and nothing of The Tick.
It never came up.
Anyways, you didn't pick up the Thor, Thor, Captain America, the Fighting Mighty Avengers?
No, I didn't get that. Was it any good?
I thought it was fun. It was entertaining. It was good. It's
pretty awesome to me.
Still, Amazing Spider-Man had Spider-Woman.
And apparently Archie Comics has released Mega Man number 1. I was this close to I was literally really close to picking it up.
I want to get that. I got to go find it.
It looks like it's Archie. You know, don't expect anything deep, but it's Mega Man. Mega Man's awesome. All right. Yeah. And of course Taser just punted little babies on Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Because he can!
All right. Well, luckily there wasn't a lot of news, But there was a lot of news before we took that week off, so we can all recover. First and foremost, apparently, even despite that, it was August of 2009 when the Ultimate Universe was under, 10 feet of water, maybe?
yeah, around that.
And we got the relaunching of the Ultimate Universe with Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 1, Ultimate Iron Man, a miniseries, Ultimate X. No, that wasn't until February, but still, you know, we got new Ultimate books. The Ultimate Enemy Trilogy, I know Taser was reading that. I don't know if you still finished it or not. You know, we got a whole new line of Ultimate books. But apparently, just like Wildstorm, which hopefully doesn't lead to the future of the Ultimate Universe, we're rebooting yet again. So we're going to be talking about each individual project because they're just so massive.
Just like my ego.
The first news is actually...
And Taser's cock, too. That too.
The first one I actually think is pretty big in that the Ultimates is going to be relaunched once again. The Ultimates number 1 is going to be written by our fan favorite, Jonathan Hickman, and art by Esad Ribic. They're going to finally, after months, years actually, the Ultimates is going to be monthly.
Woo!
So, again, like I said, Jonathan Hickman... is going to be on writing duties. When asked to set up the book, Hickman explained that the Ultimate Universe Shield is a massive organization with global reach, despite its affiliation with America. When we join the book, the Ultimates are at their breaking point, and the cast will include longtime Ultimate Nick Fury, Iron Man, Thor, as well as new members like Spider Woman and the Hulk. We'll be dealing with that. Hickman stressed that Captain America is not on this team of the Ultimates. Which may play in his first arc titled The Republic is Burning. Picking up on the political overtones of that title, Hickman asked about how political books will be, yada, yada, yada. So there's more you can reach, you can find.
Post links to the article on our website.
Exactly. Fearless, you get on that. It's a lot to read to, but that's basically the highlight of it. So this is going to be the first time, hopefully, unless... for some reason, then I'm just going to consider the Ultimates book curse. That's going to be monthly. And Jonathan Hickman is clearly a writer of innovation. If you've read S.H.I.E.L.D., Fantastic Four, Secret Warriors, as me and Brian have, and Chris, Late to the Train has, this man is known to, you know, take concepts and put them in different places. He isn't Mark Millar. He isn't, thank God, Jeff Lowe. So I'm pretty sure we're going to... you know, sees a different take on the universe, but still something of the Ultimates, but it's still something that's familiar. The only thing I have concern is Esad Ribic, who recently did a three-issue arc on Uncanny X-Force, and I like his style, but I don't know how I feel about that on the Ultimates. The Ultimates, to me, should be much like the Avengers, in that, while yes, they're a bit more asshole-y than their 616 counterpart, but there should be something grand about them. He has, I don't want to say it's not even simplistic. It's a different style. I'll say that much. It's a likable style, but I don't just think it fits right with the tone of the book. And maybe that changes with Hickman and what he's bringing, you know. But when you think Esad Ribic, I don't think Ultimate Universe. You know, that's just possibly me. But another interesting is for me is, you know, Captain America's not being on this team. You know, I mean, for the largest part, Captain America, asshole Captain America, has been part of this team since its beginning and through its various incarnations, even with Jeff Loeb and even as the Black Panther, for those that remember that. So, I mean, I'm curious. I mean, this Hickman, he's proven to tell grand stories, and now he's he's not writing the Avengers, he's writing Avengers Light, and I'm hoping he can, and with the Ultimate Universe, he really has the free reins to do mostly anything. That's a dangerous tool to give a writer like him this. But Arnold, you've been with the Ultimate Universe since its inception. Obviously, this is going to be the third reboot of this line. What are your thoughts on this Ultimates reboot?
I'm still not sure how I feel. Well, I am kind of sure how I feel about the whole reboot in general, but I know we're going to get more into that a little later. Ultimates-wise, I'm kind of indifferent to the whole reboot thing, because even before Ultimatum, I kind of whittled down the Ultimate books I picked up anyway, and Ultimates was kind of the one that I dropped. I kind of jumped in every now and then to see what was going down, but never really kept following it. Like, I haven't read Ultimate Avengers and New Ultimates. The only reason I'm getting it now is because it's tying in with Ultimate Spider-Man. So this one, I don't have an opinion in either direction. If I hear really good things about it, I may check it out later. I know I like what we've been seeing from Jonathan Hickman, but not sure if I'm going to be picking it up yet. If it seems interesting enough to grab, maybe I'll get it in trade. But yeah, kind of what else.
All right, Brian.
Yes.
You and I are arguably the two of the biggest Jonathan Hickman fans here. What are your thoughts on him taking over Ultimates and sort of the, you know, adding Spider-Woman, Hulk, and taking off Captain America? And
I think the thing with Hickman is one thing I kind of equated to him is that he's like Grant Morrison, only better. He takes these concepts and he winds them into everything he does, and he doesn't give it to you all at once, but when he does start building up to it, the payoff, it really is big and it's good, and you like it. And the thing with Hickman is that when he takes on something like this, I think he actually has the skill to pull this off, but it may be a little bit different than what we're used to, because the Avengers, they're big, they're grand, they're bold, they're in your face. Hickman is more the guy to sit back and quietly weave a story throughout, you know? He doesn't give it to you all at once. He doesn't give you, like, big exploding plot lines like Mark Millar is typically known for doing. And I think part of that might hold the book back a little bit in terms of quality from what we've seen in the past, because Mark Millar has covered this perfectly, because, as you said, these Avengers are way more of assholes than the original counterparts. And the whole thing with that is that they're able to pull it off in part due to Mark Millar's writing, because he is known to be the guy who just take a plot line and shove it in your face. And with Hickman doing this, you know, it is a possibility that he can pull it off, but it's going to be, I think, a bit different, a little more difficult than what we're used to. So right away, you know, that puts me a little bit cautious. And as far as the artist goes, Esad Ribic, I did notice him in Uncanny X-Force. I did like his art, but I do agree with you again. His art is more rough and dark, and kind of like it's got like an old gritty noir feel to it. I would honestly feel better if they would put someone like Brian Hitch or
but then the book would never come out.
Maybe Pacheco back on, you know, or like I said, Pacheco or what was his name? The guy covered the last
you mean
one.
Bocciolo?
Is that his name?
Chris
no,
Bocciolo.
Pacheco. No, the Pacheco from the Avengers line.
Oh yeah, Carlos Pacheco. Yeah.
Yeah, he did good art, and so did Hitch, and you know, I think the art itself needs to bend from someone like that who isn't so much, you know, rougher and darker, but someone who's more, you know, more outlined, more bold, like Hitch or, you know, Pacheco. So right away, you know, this writing team, while it is intriguing, it doesn't immediately put me in the seat of comfort. You know, I am a little worried about what kind of turn it will take. But given the turn that the whole Ultimate Universe is going through in the first place, you know, this whole kind of darker turn where things are changing, I think Hickman could benefit from that. But the art is nowhere near comforting just yet. I'll have to wait and see on that one. But as far as the writing goes, I do have faith in Hickman given the current status of the Ultimate Universe. So Hickman gets my seal of approval, and then Esad Ribic gets it for now until I see the first issue. So.
All right. Let's go to Chris. You're really new to Marvel. This is probably going to be the perfect time for you to jump into the Ultimate Universe. Just by hearing my summaries of it, anything that interests you sticks out?
The only thing for the Ultimate Universe I've really been reading it was Thor. In fact, what's been going on with that?
That was a miniseries that sort of told his origin, so it really didn't affect... Like, that was just a miniseries. It was four
really?
Issues.
It seemed like it wasn't over.
It was a prologue. It was a prologue.
Yeah,
to...
it was a prologue to Ultimates 1.
Son of a whore.
That's why it hasn't been coming out, because it ended.
I didn't even notice.
But I'm taking you to enjoy it, though.
I loved Ultimate Thor.
Well, he's got the Ultimate Thor.
You can still love him. He's still the same guy.
Well, Ultimate Thor is going to be in this comic, so you can get your Ultimate Thor fix here, written by the same guy. So there you go. But anything else interests you about this, about the Ultimates new number one?
Oh, I have no opinion, really. I guess I'll pick it up and see how it goes.
All right. And Taser, you criticized Wildstorm for the constant reboots. Are you going to do the same thing here?
Hell yeah. I don't get why the Ultimate Universe is getting the big old It's not the massive reboot where everything changes, but it's a relaunch, and things are going to change. Focus is probably going to be elsewhere. They'll probably move away from still kind of sort of dealing with the after effects of what the hell was it? Death the whole Magneto.
They already dealt with that, though. I mean,
you still see
ultimatum.
Water receded.
Yeah,
that's
thank you, ultimatum. But what I'm saying is, we probably won't be having like what they're doing with the Ultimate X, you know, with the whole mutants are to be shot and caught on sight, whatever the fuck. It'll probably be a little different.
Well,
I kind of like how that is now. I think it's fucked up, but I like it. This looks like, you know, we're gonna look over here now.
Well,
no, I don't want that. I don't know. It feels a little arbitrary to me. I'm not a big Hickman fan, unlike you guys. I could take him or leave him. And the artist, Asad Ribic? Is that an anagram or something? I mean, what the fuck?
He's been using it for a while, so...
Yeah.
He is a robot from the future.
He typed this name into some name scrambler, and this is
what... Well, what nationality is he?
Frog.
It's Wu-Tang.
Frog.
No, I'm not jazzed by this. This doesn't sound anything like, oh yeah, I gotta read this. This sounds cool. I look at this and I'm kind of, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, but seriously, somebody's thinking, oh, look at this, cool.
But that holds true for every day.
Hey man, Hickman is good with covering like changing moments. You know,
I understand that, and I know that Hickman has a habit of telling really good, long, deep stories that if you stick with it, yeah, you'll probably get a payoff. But it's whether you want to go that long route to get it. You know, I don't know
true enough
to do that. I'll probably pick up the first one just to see exactly what he did, because it's just, this is kind of an overview. You know, I haven't read the work yet. But if I don't like what I read in the first one, I'm dropping the whole effing thing. I got to be honest.
All right, not a problem. All right, but I know you were mentioning the Ultimate X, and I was kind of trying to interlude into the next part we're going to talk about, which is the Ultimate X was being relaunched by, I get, an indie fan favorite writer, recently Marvel exclusive writer, Nick Spencer, and art by Paco Medina, who was on the Edge of his X-Men book relaunch last year that Arnold hated. The team is going to consist of Kitty Pryde, Bobby Drake, Johnny Storm, who is noticeably not a mutant, which is kind of weird, Rogue, and Jimmy Hudson, who is Wolverine's son, who we found out about in Ultimate X. The description that they've given us, or that Spencer's given us, is it's described as a Days of Futures Past type scenario. Most of the mutants have gone underground after an ultimatum, and Spencer's going to be using information to set up an Ultimate Origins, which basically, if you didn't read Ultimate Origins, that the government created the mutant gene, and mutants are not the next step in evolution in the Ultimate Universe. And the information is going to be public. And the entire world is going to learn that the government created mutants. And of course, Spencer said that this will change how mutants look at themselves. The book will focus on the remaining mutants saving each other as opposed to the world. And there are no plans to bring out characters like Cyclops, Magneto, Wolverine, and Professor X, all of them who died in Ultimatum. Spencer also notes that Nightcrawler is dead, but it's still involved somehow. So there you go. That's curiosity. So I like how they're still going with that. The X-Men or mutants in general are still going to be hunted. They're still going to be going after. But I'm interested to see what Nick Spencer does with the fact that the government's going to release. I'm not saying the government's going to release it, but somebody's going to release this information. I'm interested. I like Paco Medina, Nick Spencer. I'm not keen on him. I haven't read much of his. I haven't read Morning Glories. I heard he's good. I haven't read any of his DC or Marvel stuff. So, I mean, who knows? Taser, isn't this the kind of scenario that you wanted for the X-Men or for mutants in general?
It doesn't sound like a whole hell of a lot is changing. It's like, okay, well, Jeff Loeb takes too fucking long. Let's get somebody else in the book, and let's make it sound like we're going to tweak it, even though they probably won't be doing a whole hell of a lot different. Because all Jean Grey's been doing around is going, hey, I found a mutant. Let's go take him before they can get a bullet in the head. And And this, it sounds like they're going to jump in an RV and discover what it is to be a
road trip.
Exactly. This is fucking MTV.
You know? This back in the 70s with Green Arrow and Green Lantern. And
where are you getting the road trip since? I mean, they're... I don't understand. I mean, they're basically being hunted by people. They're going to find out that they're not the next step in evolution, but rather, the whole existence basically was created in a lab somewhere. I mean,
yeah, but it's going to change the way mutants view themselves in a meaningful way. And they'll also be on the run, which means it'll be a road of self-discovery. Again, a new road of
which means every mutant gets to be Wolverine.
Yay!
I just
everyone's created in a lab and on a run from their past, trying to piece together their memories.
Clone! I'm and saying it's the spider clones, except on a massive scale.
Oh God, don't Fuck no, please don't. I can't handle that. I'm gonna hang myself.
Okay, go ahead, and I'll be right behind you because this shit sounds dumb.
Right.
I'm not. This doesn't move me at all. Yeah, it does. It moves me to the bathroom so I can take a big, fat dump.
Loot.
This sounds like this is shit.
All right, Arnold, thoughts.
Again, the book that this is spinning off of, yeah, that said a lot when it comes to the whole Ultimate X thing, is, I'm still waiting for it to finish. It sounds great in theory, and some of the people on it are cool, and Kitty Pryde at the forefront, if she's gonna be rocking her little, red hooded cloak she's got going on from Ultimate Spider-Man, if that's crossing over into this, Ultimate X storyline, and how they're saying that it's supposed to be kind of more gritty and more involved, and they're looking out for each other. Let's see what happens. Are people going to be turning on the X-Men once again? Is it going to be the X-Men versus the government, or, you know, the X-Men are going to team up with the government against whoever is making this go public, et cetera, et cetera? Who knows? But, yeah, I don't know. Because I still don't even think I care about Ultimate X anymore. And to see it go through another revamp like the rest of the stuff, but whatever.
All right, Brian, go ahead and give your thoughts. Is the jadedness going to continue?
It's not going to continue, but only because I'm going to say pass. Because I've never read Ultimate X-Men ever before. I don't plan on reading it now. So it's mostly just an apathy that I pass. That I'm not going to.
Chris,
that's so many good moments.
Oh yeah, so many good moments.
Oh yeah, like Wolverine groping Jean Grey. That's super fun.
Hey, that's Mr. Mark Millar.
Oh, that. Good stuff all
that's
over.
That's Mark Millar for you, Chris.
Wolverine busted Cyclops off a cliff. Great.
Didn't he kill Cyclops?
Jean Grey just the third input.
Just to get
no Quicksilver killed Cyclops.
No.
Yeah.
But Wolverine
like almost kill him just so he can get with Jean Grey. Or some shit. I remember something like that.
I guess, but that Cyclops fell, or he got pushed over by Wolverine, I think, and he broke either his arm and his leg, either or both. And Wolverine just turned around and walked off. I was like, "Yay, that's awesome, bravo!"
Said, "I'm gonna go get me some redheads."
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck a redhead. I was like, "Yes."
What are your thoughts on this? On Ultimate X-Men number one, Ultimate X-Men.
Again, I have no thoughts. I don't even read any X-Men titles at all. So it doesn't affect me at all.
Apathy for the win.
I know we were gonna discuss the Ultimate Hawkeye miniseries, but and this is gonna become a proclamation at the end of the show. But you can take that to our message board. Which again, don't say anything because we're gonna talk about the end of the show. Ultimate Hawkeye is getting a miniseries written by Jonathan Hickman. Not much to go in there, but I guess the big one that we should all talk about is this is going to Ultimate Spider-Man. Is going to get relaunched again with the team of course, same writer. Actually, a lot of people thought he was actually leaving the book. Brian Michael Bendis on writing duties, and Sarah Pacelli, who came on with issue 151 of this current series, was actually pretty freaking
good. Hold on. Isn't Sarah Pacelli Witchblade? Isn't that her name?
No, that's Sarah Pizzini.
Pizzini.
My bad. I'm
Come
sorry.
On, dude.
Come on, man.
Taser thinks all Italians look alike.
Yes.
You mean they don't?
All right. Anyways, Bendis has been quoted as saying, "This is the new status quo as being the most nerve-wracking initiative that he's ever been a part of." Bendis immediately notes that this is not going to be the same title it once was. The Deadly Ultimate title is really aiming to be fresh and new above all else. These are his words, not mine. Bendis also adds that the opening arc will feature characters reacting to the death of Peter Parker, as well as the introduction of a new Spider-Man, whoever that might be, the Fantastic Four, or what's left of them, will also make themselves known when the time is right. Check out Ultimate Enemy Trilogy for what's become of the Fab Four. Taser's been keeping up on that, I think. Bendis won't say too much, as he says he doesn't want to give it a finale of the current story, but insists it makes sense soon. He also adds that he has no plans to keep to leave the book or the character, even if he is outlasting Peter himself. Bendis also noted that Fallout is a direct sequel to the death of Ultimate Spider-Man, and it features Easter eggs for the series and what is to come. In regards to the death itself, Bendis noted that there is more that goes into Spider-Man than just being Peter Parker. He also added there are going to be several new characters based on Spider research, as well as a lot of returning characters, including Mysterio. Gwen Stacy is also going to be in a tremendous year as a character, although no further elaboration was given. The plan right now is for all the Ultimate books to ship more than 12 times a year. Stay tuned for all the various times. Okay. So, basically, I don't want to... I'm really curious if it's not the secret, like, he's just changing his name. I honestly hope they do. As much as I love Peter Parker as a character, I honestly hope Marvel does kill him and does keep him dead. Even though he's going to come back, keep him dead and put somebody new. I don't even, you know what, I know I joked earlier that I'm going to hang myself if it's Ben Reilly. I don't even care if it's that. You know, if you're going to say it, put somebody in there. You know, we've seen it. We talked about the new costume. We know about that. I'm awesome with the art. I love the art, dude. Sarah Pacelli is great. I don't know if she's a monthly artist, though. I know David LaFuente wasn't. So I'm curious about that. But I just don't know how much more Bendis has left to say. You know, he's been on this book. Again, Arnold's been there longest for 10-plus years. That's a long time to be on one particular title. And maybe it's because this is why I'm not a writer. I'm sure he has stories to tell, but I don't know. If it's a new character, then you have fresh new stories to tell. I just hope it's not a cop-out and that it really is Peter Parker, but he just changed his name to Ben Reilly or something. You know, I mean, that seems everybody's going to get. But I don't know. I guarantee you, when it comes out, it's going to be the highest-selling book of that particular month. You know, just because of the hype of the Marvel hype machine. I'm curious, and while I've been loving the Death of Ultimate Spider-Man, when it was relaunched back in 2009, I dropped it after six issues, or maybe six or seven. I just stopped caring. And Bendis has been able to keep me on track with, I guess, ever since 151 onward. So, I'm curious, to see where he's gonna where can you go next after killing, you know, Peter Parker, you know, Arnold.
Ben Reilly.
what thoughts?
As you said, being with the Ultimate Spider-Man books literally since issue one, and going all the way up to now where we're at, at what, 156, 157 now?
Yeah, 158.
Bendis's credit, I find myself with his writing other books sometimes when he's been on it for too long. I find myself maybe getting bored with it. Like, it's usually hit or miss with me sometimes, especially with some of his Avengers books that he's been doing. But I have yet to feel that with Spider-Man, their Ultimate Spider-Man, rather. There have been very few issues or story arcs, if any, that I was upset over. I'm honestly a hardcore, avid fan of this series. It's still consistently been one of my favorite books, picking up on a month-to-month basis, Ultimatum aside. I'm still trying to deal with the fact that they may actually kill this kid off, because that's going to be heartbreaking for me. But I, at the same time, hope they do, because I want to see where it goes from here and how they're going to involve all the people and still keep the other characters involved. I mean, because technically, if you really kill off Peter Parker and this is a brand new Spider-Man, why do you necessarily need Peter Parker's supporting cast, you know? Well, aside from maybe an issue or two showing them dealing with the death, unless, you know, there's somehow this person that is Spider-Man, I would assume, would have some sort of relationship that would require the rest of the supporting cast to be involved.
Well, to be fair, I don't mean to cut it, I'm sorry, but Bobby Drake, Human Torch, is moving over to X-Men, so he's out.
Right.
So something happened. Right. They never said anything about MJ. It just says Gwen Stacy and Mysterio return. Mysterio doesn't necessarily know that Peter Parker, you know, is Spider-Man. He just knows there's a Spider-Man, and, you know, who knows the thing about Gwen Stacy, which makes me think clone.
Clone!
But then there's, and then there's Aunt May, and say what you want about 616 Aunt May. Ultimate Aunt May is at least likable and tolerable. She's kind of cool, and she's running a home for wayward mutants.
She's home for wayward mutants, man.
She's spry, making some sandwiches.
I'm still on board.
I'm still on board with this book, and I want to see where it goes. I don't think the relaunch was necessary in numbers, because the book really went from issue however many once Ultimatum was done. Started with a 1, got to issue 15, I think, and then became 150 again. And we're almost at 160 or so when it ends to start at number 1 again.
Well, just numbering
so
doesn't
matter.
So that's
kind of annoying. That's what I'm saying. Not that I care about numbering or anything. It's just obnoxious sometimes. Like, it's at this point, what's the point? Because now if you get to, say, 200 or 300, we're going to renumber it again, because you're going to ask people to send in postcards if you want us to renumber Ultimate Spider-Man. And so I feel is pointless. But I want to see where things progress and how it can go along, and if they can keep the supporting cast of characters, because I do like them, and I still want to see them around and involved in stuff. And if it's not all that great from there, then maybe I'll have to sadly drop it. But I'm cautiously optimistic.
And that brings me up. That should be an excellent topic. Does comics number even matter anymore? But let's not talk about it right now. Taser, you're the one who's the most apathetic of us all. You're just gonna roll your eyes at this relaunch again?
I think there's no real cause for doing it. It's a plot, but the whole death of Spider-Man is a joke because he got shot by accident. Come on, man.
There's still 3 more issues to go, so I mean.
Yeah, still, he got shot by accident. If you're going to do the death of Spider-Man, you should do something where he dies on purpose.
Still 3 issues to go, though. I mean.
Look at it this way. At this current point in time, is Spider-Man up and around?
I haven't seen the next issue, so he's...
Okay, the last issue you read, was he still in the hospital?
He wasn't even in the hospital. He just got shot. That was it.
There was no hospital. The issue hasn't come after it yet.
Okay. I bet you they do something lame where he's probably still in the hospital for another issue, and then the last 2 issues, he'll get up and do something heroic and then die. Okay? Which is...
Well, in the preview for the next issue, they open it with him on the ground bleeding.
Yeah, exactly, because they got to get him to the hospital, and they'll drag it out just like they did Sue's death in Ultimate Enemy, you know, when Reed attacked.
Wait, she died?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she died, and they resuscitated her next issue. It was like, oh, fuck yo. You know, I wanted her dead. I really wanted her dead. But what I'm saying is this, if you're going to kill Spider-Man, then just fucking do it. It'll drag out. I wanted him to get shot in the head. That's right. Headshot on purpose. Bow. That's it. If you're going to fucking kill him, kill him.
You should talk to children about this kind of stuff.
I do. I preach the gospel.
Maybe Aunt May can save him with the power of love.
But what I'm saying is this. We've been reading. With the exception of Chris. Well, I don't know how long we've been reading comics, but you know how this is going to go. I mean, really, come on. And then you know what they're going to do? When they bring back the new Spider-Man in whatever costume they put him in, even if it's the same one, just slightly tweaked, it's gonna be Bloodwing all over again. It'll be fucking Peter Parker under a hypnotized identity to keep his shit secret. Because there you go, it's fucking Martian Manhunter Bloodwing. He won't remember for some fucking stupid.
That was Martian Manhunter? I wasn't aware who that was.
That was the.
I remember Bloodwing showing like, who the fuck is this guy?
And he had a good reason for doing it. So. I look at this, and you know, I just want to—I want to pull my pants up and stop the raping, because that's what it feels like. Comic fans are going to get bent over again.
Wow.
All right, Brian, have you given? Go ahead and give your thoughts on this.
Pass.
Wow.
I don't read this regularly, so I don't. Again, I don't care. Besides, I'm kind of pissed at you for passing over Hawkeye.
The point
is that.
All right. Well. Well, fuck Hawkeye.
Fuck you!
Chris,
Hawkeye's kind of cool.
Chris, what about you? Any thoughts on this new Ultimate Spider-Man?
Completely neutral standpoint.
Not even any excitement, any generation, any hate, nothing? God, it was a mistake to bring your ass on here.
I told you, I barely read anything from Marvel at the moment. Jesus.
All right. Well, let's move on, because Chris is a bitch.
You're a bitch.
To our book of the week, which was FF number 3. We made FF number 1 the book of the week a while back, but and Taze talked about FF number 2, and I believe in our last episode, so this is, I think, it double shipped this time. So this issue, we revealed that the alternate Reed Richards are dicks.
I had a ball with that.
Not to cut you off, Taser, but Hickman has been playing with this idea that this, the Reed Richards of our Earth, or the Marvel Universe, is that he's the one who chose family over the greater good, and that every other single Reed Richards that we've encountered chose
dicks.
Chose the greater good and sacrificed the family no matter what.
So that every 80s parent ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing that job over their family.
In that, it was the alternate Reeds, unless I read it wrong. Cause somebody please tell me if I read it wrong. That it was the alternate Reeds who led to the War of Cities, which took place in Hickman's FF run, Fantastic Four run, actually, or at least, or it's about to happen, and that they allowed Nihilus to come out, which led to the Jet of Johnny Storm, which is gonna lead to Reed being pissed. I like this issue. It literally, I'm not gonna lie, it blew my fucking mind. I kept going, wow, wow, wow. This is possibly the best book I've read this week. Wow, 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 wow. And I know we're talking about, you know, Hickman a lot, but Steve Epting killed it again. I mean, you know, yeah, he has a celebrated run on Captain America, but the dude is, you know, he brings us a subtle tone to it. I can't even describe it. It just meshes with the book. And we talked about earlier how Esad Ribic doesn't seem right with Ultimates, but Epting seems right for FF. You know? So I have to give this 5 out of 5. This is the best issue of FF yet. I'm interested to see, unless I read it wrong, and how our Reed reacts to finding out that the alternate Reeds might have caused Nihilus to come out, which caused the death of Johnny Storm.
That's all, folks.
So there you go.
Okay, Kuhan.
I'm interested. This is possibly the best Marvel book going on right now. And I read a lot of Marvel books, so this is probably the cream of the crop. Until the new S.H.I.E.L.D. comes out. So 5 out of 5. Taser, you're the one closest to FF out of all of us.
Oh, yeah. I gotta say, I did like this book. I didn't read Fantastic Four, so most of this stuff is completely new to me. I will say I was very interested in seeing exactly how the whole how do we defeat Reed Richards thing was going to play out, because based on what happened last issue, I was like, what the f-? You know, and then, you know, we get to this and I'm, oh, he caught me. Okay, he caught me. I was caught flat-footed, but I didn't read a lot of the early stuff, so, you know, I acquiesce on this. I like this book. The whole thing, like you just brought up with the one Reed leaving the portal for the freaking negative zone to be open. Oh, holy shit! that other, I don't know, bald Reed who looked like a cross between Xavier and Mahatma Gandhi getting mind-eaten by the freaking Dire Wraith. And I was tripping out on all the races. I was like, oh, look, a Skrull, a Dire Wraith, is the fucking, the horsey people from Power Pack, and an Arcturian! Nice! there was a whole lot of stuff that you saw exactly them working behind the scenes, and I can only assume some of the stuff that we saw, you know, involved shit that happened in his book, which I have no clue about, but the way it plays out, it's like, oh, this has to be a reference to something. And the whole distance way in which they viewed their actions, you know, like, well, it doesn't matter that this gets done or whatever happens because
it's for the greater good.
This is my ultimate goal, you know. I'm just like, wow, these fucking guys, they have no soul. Holy shit, awesome! So, I like this book. I'm going to give it... I'll give it a 4.2 Warriors out of 5. I didn't like it all that much because it's fucking FF. But it did have Spidey, and Spidey was still kind of funny in this. And I will say, the scenes with them going around to the villains to try to take down...
That little panel...
Like a formal invitation. Yeah, that shit was fucking brilliant. I loved it. So yeah, I'll give it even better. 4.5 Warriors out of 5. Pick up this book.
That's a really high rating from you. Let's go to Arnold. What did you think of FF number 3?
I too was also another big fan of this book. Also coming into FF, I didn't read much, if any, of Hickman's Fantastic Four run. I kind of popped in and out during the end of it into the war, the death of Johnny Storm. But getting up to this issue is really where it kind of solidified for me. Yeah, I definitely want to keep reading this book to see where it was going. I'm going to have to echo a lot of what Taser said, because he pretty much hit everything kind of right on the nose that I was going to comment on. I'm definitely a big fan of the formal invite. That's totally Victor's style. He would do something of that nature. And the fact that it made all of them go around, or had all of them go around doing the inviting themselves, no less, by adding insult to injury, I thought that was a nice little touch. Instead of Doom going and inviting people, he's sending people out to come. Let's discuss how to kill Reed. I liked how he also took a moment to point out that if any of you think this is a remote possibility, you know, I'm ending this now. But that whole dynamic and awkward moment to be in that room where there's all of your greatest villains, so to speak, figuring out how to kill you in your own home. And I dug it. It was just a lot of fun. Like, you felt the gravity of the situation that was going on, yet it still had an element of fun to it. But it got me interested.
If I might interject for a second, Arnold, I might interject for a hot second, you know what really said it for me? What really said it for me in the seriousness of exactly what the fuck was going on was when the Watcher showed up. Because then it's like,
that
Reed looked
too
at Valerian.
He was like, what did you do?
Exactly. If this had been any other like father, he'd have smacked the shit out of her. Because, what the fuck, you know? So that was like, oh my God. So please continue.
You see shit like that, but you have to think at some point, the way he's reacting to her, somebody has looked at Reed Richards and thought the exact same thing with the exact same face. Like, what the fuck did you just do? Like, stop touching things. Just leave stuff alone. But this is another 4.5 out of me. For me, the art was great. The story's great. I'm in for a while, at least, to see how all these death of Reed Richards is coming about, because it's looking pretty cool so far.
All right. And then before we go to Brian real quick, Hickman has played up the idea that Valeria is a much like Reed Richards, but she's more id. She's more impulsive. She's much more like Johnny in that she'll do whatever she thinks, but she also has the intellect of – she's smarter than Reed Richards, than her father.
But she's not as wise.
No, she's not. Exactly. She, like I said, she's more like Johnny in that sense. So dangerous character to be.
Naive almost.
So let's go to Brian. Brian, are you going to be negative, man?
No, I'm not going to be entirely negative. I mean, I thought this was a very good, solid issue. I did enjoy some moments more than others. You know, some things kind of caught me a little bit off guard, but otherwise it was a very solid issue, you know? I did enjoy the whole thing where Doom made him go around, pass out invitations, and then, Spidey's dialogue with the Red Ghost, that was hilarious. I thought that was great. But yeah, seeing just how all the other Reeds like went around and just fucked everything up so bad that the Valerius come in and she has to fuck it up worse. It was just like, this thing is just a whole clusterfuck of people ruining the world under the guise of saving it, mind you. Hickman's writing is par for the course. It's typical Hickman. It's a good issue. The art I don't know. Something about the art in this issue kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I'm really not sure what it is, but it just it didn't strike the same chord with me that it would have done like with the other issues. I really just don't know what it was, but it was kind of odd. But otherwise, you know, I really don't have much else to add here. You know, it was a very solid issue. I enjoyed it a lot, and I'm looking forward to the next issue where hopefully we'll find out how to defeat the evil that is Reed Richards. So I'll give it a 4 out of 5 warriors. Keep up with the whole FF thing. So
hater. So need to say Reed Richards, alternate Reed Richards are dicks.
Yeah, but awesome dicks.
But okay, so that was unfortunately Chris did not read it because he does not know of the awesomeness that is FF. Get on that shit, Chris.
I just might, and just from your explanation, all I could just keep remembering was back in Marvel Zombies, where Reed Richards just injected everybody with the freaking T virus.
Reed Richards in himself is dickish. These guys just take it to another fucking level.
Yeah, Reed Richards and Superman.
Reed Richards set the par for the course as far as neglectful husband goes. He is the original neglecting husband.
No. Wait. Hold on. We know that Reed Richards may be a bit distant, but he is not neglectful. If he was neglectful, Sue would have left a long time, and we all know that Reed keeps Sue very happy.
I have an entire article that details his neglect in great detail.
All right. Let's move on to individual reviews. All right. Individual reviews. I'm going to go with another, I guess, somewhat tie into FF, which is Amazing Spider-Man number 660, the complete opposite of what FF, Spider-Man and FF meaning. This is more Spider-Man-centric. Spider-Man takes control. Basically, you have the FF and Spider-Man fighting the Sinister Six, who turned out to be robots. But really, it was a diversion for Doc Ock,
Skynet,
Doc Ock, Electro, and Sandman to break into the Baxter Building. But then they get pwned by the kids, by the students of the Future Foundation, which was funny.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was cool, and it took like Sandman like 12 hours. And they referenced the Frightful Four of Sandman being in the original Frightful Four. It was kind of cool. I didn't see that coming. It was fun. It was a Dan Slott written issue. I'm glad I didn't bitch about this last time because I didn't talk about it because I didn't want to talk about it. But I'm so glad that they didn't have Carly Cooper get that damn Green Goblin tattoo because she's a fucking cop and no cop, I don't care how drunk they are, wouldn't get the tattoo of a gang affiliated homicidal maniac girlfriend bridge throwing killer. They just wouldn't. It turns out she got a tattoo of Spidey and she thought, oh, it's gonna be awkward and they make love. That's it. You can hear Chef in the background.
I'm gonna make love to your woman.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Don't you see the sound part? This is Chef.
But this is.
That was pretty good.
Children, come lick my chocolate salty balls.
Wow.
But the highlight of this issue had to be Stefano Caselli, who continues to remind me why he's one of my favorite pencilers, going back to the Avengers Initiative. I just love his style. I wish I could have seen him do more classic Spidey. I liked it when he did that whole army of the bugs thing that made Spidey lose his spider sense. And it seems Spider-Man's going to get his spider sense back, or otherwise I could have read it wrong, but they referenced that, and Reed's going to figure out how to fix it. Who knows that it's going to happen, but it was interesting. But on the good ship, Spider-Man hasn't been good so far, and I'm glad that the FF tie-in is over. I didn't really like it too much, but the next tie-in is Avengers Academy, so there you go.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man's becoming Wolverine. Shit. All right.
Nowhere close to that.
Let's go to Chris, who is going with another Fear Itself tie-in. You actually enjoying Journey into Mystery number 623. What are your thoughts on the issue?
So much better than what it was when it was Thor. Especially the art. Jesus Christ.
Is that all?
Oh. You want me to touch it into a more?
What are your thoughts about the story? You don't have to tell. Don't tell the story, but what do you like? What do you like about it besides that the art was good?
Well, it's not just because of the art that was my entire problem with Thor. Before it became Journey into Mystery, it was the fact that it became a two-page spread for every other page.
All right, but talk about Journey into Mystery. What did you like about this particular issue?
Just that it's actually telling a good story in how Loki's a development as a child and trying
Holy
to save
shit, this guy replaced me?
I know, I'm strange.
Alright, out of a scale of out of five, what would you give Journey into Mystery 623?
I would give it about a 3.8.
Alright, so would you tell other people to jump on to Journey into Mystery and jump onto this bandwagon?
Definitely.
Alright. As long as Chris is here, we'll be hearing more from Journey into Mystery, because I know I'm not reading that title. I'm reading the real Thor title. Let's go to Brian, has been waiting for this moment for a long time since last October when it was announced. Brian, Moon Knight number one, did it wow you?
It sufficiently wowed me, I have to say. This book was everything I hoped it would be, and more. Okay, so what do we got here? We got Mark Spector out in L.A. He's actually producing a TV show about his life, believe it or not, or a fictional character that resembles his life. And he's balancing that between that and covering some of the crime that's out on the West Coast. You know, he's got the Avengers backing him up. We see him throughout the book, you know, talking to Cap and Wolverine and Spider-Man, who have all collectively gathered, telling him, you know, you're basically the law out here now. If you need backup, call us, but this is your scene now. And he kind of takes that and runs with it. And what we get is him tracking a sale of a deactivated Ultron robot who was being sold by Mr. Hyde to some criminals. And he breaks up the buy, but it goes bad in that Mr. Hyde beats the living everyone shit out of him. And eventually he battles back, you know, kicks Hyde's ass, you know, gets the robot. But before he can actually get it clean, the supposed kingpin of the West Coast shows up, or someone suspected as the kingpin of the West Coast, this huge crime boss with insane powers. He essentially destroys the boat that Hyde was on, and presumably Hyde himself, but that wasn't confirmed or denied. And what we get at the very end is we get Moon Knight meeting back at base with Captain America, Wolverine, Spider-Man, talking about the possibilities of what's going on with the whole Ultron sale. Now, they think it could be weapons to make materials, someone could want an army of Ultrons, they're not really sure. But Moon Knight says that he's going to dig deeper into it, and that's stuff for the second issue. But there's a big twist ending, you know, of M. Night Shyamalan proportions near the end. And while he's talking to Captain America, Wolverine, and Spider-Man all about this threat, it is revealed that he's, in fact, not talking to them, but he is hallucinating, indicating that he is still off his rocker crazy. So that's what we get from the book story-wise. So Bendis' writing definitely holds up. You know, he's kind of a fresh breath to the Moon Knight legacy, I guess he definitely is. He brings a element of realism and crime to it, which he is good at if you read some of his stuff, you know, his indie stuff. The art by Maleev is fantastic. I mean, it could have done better in some places, but overall, it was just fantastic. So, essentially, you know, what we get here is a very, very solid first issue, a very great issue, actually, and it is a breath of fresh air into a series that it has kind of, long since been in the in-between, you know, one of those books. I'm definitely very, very pleased with this. I'm totally going to get the next issue and buy it.
You're
going to
get the next issue?
Going to get the next issue. I highly recommend anyone buying this issue and then buy the next issue too. But I just hope that Bendis and Maleev can commit enough time to this, you know, with their indie work and their company work. So I hope it doesn't suffer because of that. But otherwise, it's a great, great issue. I gave it a 5 out of 5 Warriors, hands down.
Well, again, if this Moon Knight doesn't make it past 20 issues, 20, Moon Knight should never have another ongoing ever again.
I completely agree with you, because this really is a brilliant fresh take on him. And if they can, and if Bendis and Maleev can't make it work, two of the biggest names in the industry, if they can't make it work, then honestly, I've lost all hope for an ongoing series with anyone doing Moon Knight. I mean, that's just it. That's done. Game over, man. Game over.
All right.
Game over, man. Game over.
Exactly, Data. Exactly. All
right. Well, let's go to Fat Faces with Arnold. New Avengers number 12. You have a huge problem with Fat Faces.
It's not about fat faces. That has nothing to do with it. That's all right when people have fat faces or whatever the case may be. It's just fat faces of horrible art. there's a difference. Like, everybody does it, just looks bloated. It doesn't look fat. There's a difference. So while we're on that topic, let's get that out of the way. To be honest, unless I'm missing something, with the exception, spoiler alert, with the exception of some briefcase that gets opened at the end of this, which I'm assuming may show up in the present era, everything that's going on during the World War II era sections of New Avengers has absolutely fuck all to do with the rest of the book right now. Other than to push you off in between a couple of pages because the art looks fucking terrible. In this issue, we had a Red Skull show up who we find out at the end was a duplicate of a Red Skull. Big surprise there. Brings out a Captain America who is a fake Captain America who gets his ass kicked. And then Sabretooth lops off this Red Skull's head. Nick Fury gets all pissed because they wanted to question him and this, that, and the other thing. But just, again, they opened up that briefcase that he had, saw something that was crazy in it, they closed it shut, and that was the end of that. In the present era, however, we're dealing with the fallout of Mockingbird getting shot. Hawkeye is telling Victoria Hand, you know, find out, you know, what the deal is, where I forget this girl's name, who the villain was, it's something silly.
Superior.
Yeah, again, something silly. then, you know, go find out where she is.
Because Spider-Woman isn't nearly as silly.
Yes, mystery.
What happened?
Because Spider-Woman isn't nearly as silly. Or Ms. Marvel.
I mean, it's just
or,
a simplistic.
Or
it's
or,
a simplistic.
Or Wolverine.
Yeah, but there's no. I mean, yeah, I know it's cheesy, like a, but it's just it's a funny name. It's a funny name.
A dominatrix for hire.
Like,
come on.
I'd pay for that.
You know, but that aside. You know, they're questioning this girl from who's a part of Hammer, and the new Avengers show up to come and question her, and they speak to a detective who looks suspiciously an awful lot like Lawrence Fishburne. If you look at the picture close enough, if you go back and look at it, this dude looks exactly like Lawrence Fishburne.
Actually, he does look like Lawrence Fishburne. I was thinking that too.
He
but
does.
I didn't think of, I
he does.
That was just me.
No, totally caught that.
That's his thing, so.
It's going to be a CSI tie-in soon.
No, it's fine. I like it. It's cool. It works in certain spots as long as it's not overdone. I like when it just randomly shows up every now and then. But towards the end of this, the very last page of the issue just proved what Spider-Man's been saying for forever, and it seems that this woman who's running... assisting in Victoria Brand, is it? Who's assisting in running the or aiding the new Avengers is secretly trying to get is secretly running Hammer under their noses. So when eventually that gets found out, I'm sure there's going to be a wealth of I told you so's from Spidey. But on a whole, this book is going to get a 3 out of 5. I don't even know if I should give it that much. It loses massive points for all of the World War II stuff because it's just terrible and pointless, but the stuff that's going on in the present era, I'm still intrigued in, so looks cool.
Alright. Last but not least, Taser, take it away.
Where am I taking it? Jersey? Okay.
No, anyway. Not there.
Secret Avengers 12.1. You would think that there would be more to follow in this, but I don't know. Marvel decided to take a bunch of books and do a 12.1 thing. I don't know. I didn't bother reading about it. Don't give a rat's ass. This actually wasn't a bad story, though. Basic general overview. Some douche who copies WikiLeaks' way of taking super secret information and just releasing it out there because the information must be shown. He gets a gigantic Mondo list of people who have given a lot of insider information to our government, you know, or various policing agencies, and a lot of them happen to be people that, you know, work on the other side of the law. So this Dillhole, who wears Cap's old the Captain outfit, he puts a shit ton of people, and I do mean a shit ton of people. He puts their lives at risk by releasing this information. So it hits the major news markets, and Captain America calls in the Secret Avenger, and he goes, "Hey, yo, guys, yo, it's going to get raw real quick. And we need to take and protect ourselves because for, you know, whatever reason, by various means, we've got some people that, you know, could use our help, and we're going to take care of business." There's one that they focus on, which is this doctor who works out of, who does work with AIM, and the man's got a family, and they figure, well, nothing's really broken down yet, so if we move quick, we can take and get the jump on him, we can get this guy secure and his family, and, you know, we'll at least repay some of our debt to this guy for risking his life. So they make the big infiltration, and, you know, they drop down Valkyrie, who kicks butt, and freaking Ant-Man, the conversation between Ant-Man and War Machine is really interesting, because Ant-Man's like, oh, wow, Valkyrie, she's so hot. You think she'd be into me? And,
totally.
You know, you kind of know how that's going to go, but it's really fun. They get to the guy, and then you come to find out that apparently what AIM does is they pulled a spouse switcheroo, where it's really the wife who's the doctor, and the husband, he just goes there and he gets tied up and he acts as a cover. So by them breaking in there to get the husband means that the wife's at risk. So they're like, oh no, oh God, we got to go get the wife. They send Moon Knight, and Moon Knight is just a bit too late. So mission not accomplished. They, you know, end up catching the guy who committed all of this in the first place. And it's interesting in that the guy actually gives Cap a decent argument for why he did this. And given a couple of years ago, you would have been right where I am and, you know, been doing the exact same thing. So how dare you be mad at me? And Captain America, see, this is what I don't like about Steve Rogers now. Because Steve Rogers' position, he somewhat agrees with him, but he says, well, because I am who I am now, I'm not going to confirm or deny anything that you just said, but we don't take and put people at risk because of blah, blah, blah. It's not a huge bit of hypocrisy on his end, but there's a hint of it, because he kind of admits that, yeah, I understand your reasoning and everything else. He just didn't agree with the way he did it. I don't know. I will say that overall, this was a pretty solid story. You know, it's interesting to see that what was it? They had the thing with the whole liberals, you know, a couple of issues ago.
Was it pronounced Snort in there?
No, but I forgot what it was, but it caused a big hoopla on the GLCMB boards. You know, it's like, oh, look, they're making fun of the conservative right, huh? See, all the comic books are leftists. Here, they took a reckless act by somebody who kind of feels leftist. And, you know, they're the goat now. And I kind of agree with that, because I understand the need for information to be free, but it carries with it a great deal of responsibility. This guy showed none of that. You know, putting people's lives at risk because you want something to get out there because you feel it has to be, yeah, that's a dick. And that's what this guy was. And to see Cap take him down in three hits after one block, which is, oh, my God, that was beautiful. It was so tasty. I feel this book should be read. I would give this book 4 Warriors out of 5. I'm glad to have read this book. It wasn't the greatest book ever, but it was a damn good one. Pick it up.
All right, and before we move on, because we're not going to do our Versus of the Week, we had a really good one, but we're going to save it for next time because we're running really long. Comment on Secret Avengers. It's too bad that book is going to become unstable as fuck in the next couple of months. You have, as much as I did, I went back and bought this issue, and I did enjoy it. Nick Spencer is going to be writing the Fear Itself Times, which I believe is either 2 or 3 issues, and then Warren Ellis is coming on for like an issue or something, and then after that there's nothing. So this series after 1 year is already going into chaotic spin. So who knows what the fate of this series is going to be. But Jamie McKelvey is drawing issue 16, so that's all I care about. So, with that being said, even though I don't sound enthusiastic, now time for some announcements, some game changers,
announcements,
some firings. Brian, you're fired. I'm just kidding. Expect
get severance pay.
Expect within the next 2 weeks for our Civil War retrospective, one of our new specials to be coming out within either next week or the following week. It will be done before we leave May.
If we remember.
I'm remembering. No, good concept. I'm gonna bug the shit out of Brian. So our Civil War retrospective will be coming up soon. Also, because I decided not to release it last week, this is going to be double release with our Thor special.
Oh, a twofer!
Where Taser was joined by Taser and I were joined by Project Fanboy Scott Williams, and it was nice to chat with Scott. And we thank him for his time. So, unfortunately, again, I wanted to release it double, give you double the dose of the Warriors 3, instead of just giving
you the Warriors 6, baby.
So, and coming up, this is something I want to announce. Hopefully, once Secret Warriors is over, a title that me, Brian, and Chris read, hopefully there's going to be a special for that. A special just dedicated to Secret Warriors that Arnold and Taser will not be at because they don't read the book.
And they suck.
So we'll be doing a sort of somewhat retrospective on that book. Because I know Brian and I, we've been reading it since issue one, so
Amen.
So we want to give it that. Also, in 3 weeks, X-Men First Class. So that will also be another special we'll be doing. So lots of specials, lots of bonus stuff. And the last thing I want to mention, I know the message board has been dead. I haven't been there. Brian hasn't been there. Arnold's been busy. Taser actually does the most work out of all of us by updating the drop list.
Way to go, Taser.
I still post.
You do most out of all of us. But as of today, I am actively taking all of us, including Brian, and we'll be taking a more active role into the not just the forum, but the website as well. The website will be updated. The Twitter will be updated. I looked at it this past week. I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. As much as I love doing this show, this isn't just a show. We have a forum. We have a website. And there's no point to have them if they're just going to be sitting there. And I know a lot of us, I know Arnold probably agrees with me, Brian, Taser probably doesn't care. But, you know, if you're going to have these things, you might as well use them.
Yeah!
So look for more content,
porn.
More stuff to be on
more
there.
More porn!
furries.
Woohoo! Furry porn!
Look for just look for us to be more constant. I promise, I know a lot of y'all maybe have not gone to the board just because we haven't been there. I will be a post-whore over there.
So you just going to be a post-whore now?
Yeah.
As opposed to a regular kind of whore.
Exactly. I'm going to be a Warriors 3 post-whore. So trust me, all of us and our regular website won't just have episodes. We're going to put news bits up there so you can get your news from there, which will link you to the message board. The Twitter's going to be up there. So I know that was long-winded, and I apologize for the website, for the forum being dead. And hopefully by this Wednesday, we'll be day and date with our with us on iTunes. Our first 30 episodes are up on iTunes. Hopefully by this Wednesday – no, actually, I'm going to guarantee it. By this Wednesday, all our episodes will be day and date. And what I mean is when you get an episode on the website, you're going to get an episode on iTunes. So look for that. I am deeply sorry that this took so damn long. This is because I'm lazy and work sadly took away from all that. So, but we're going to be back on track with a lot of these things. The Warriors 3 have officially returned with Arnold, Brian, and Taser. We'll see you all next week, episode number 65.
Unless we forget. And Thor's an alien, by the way.